Hi all, it's Pastor Matt Kennedy here from the Parks Baptist Church. Wonderful to have you with us as we look at God's Word. Once there was a little old man, his eyes blinked and his hands trembled. When he ate, he clattered the silverware distressingly, missed his mouth with the spoon as often as not, and dribbled a bit of his food onto the tablecloth. Now, he lived with his married son, having nowhere else to live, and his son's wife didn't like the arrangement. "I can't have this," she said. "It interferes with my right to be happy." So she and her husband took the old man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they sat him on a stool and they gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day his hands trembled rather more than usual, and the earthenware bowl that he was eating from fell and broke. "You are a pig," said the daughter-in-law. "You must eat out of a trough then." So they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his meals in that. These people had a four-year-old son whom they were very fond. One evening, the young man noticed his boy playing intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. "I'm making a trough," he said, smiling up for approval, "to feed you and Mama out of when I get big." The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything. Then they cried a little. Then they went back to the corner and they took that old man by the arm and they led him back to the table. They sat him in a comfortable chair and they gave him his food on a plate, and from then on, nobody ever scolded him when he clattered or spilled or broke things. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you would give me the words to speak and each of us, Lord, the ears to hear. I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So, yeah, I'd just like to welcome everybody to the next part of our new Bible series based on the Ten Commandments. So far, we've looked at the first four commandments, the first being you shall have no other gods before me, the second being you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow to them or worship them. The third commandment being you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And last week we checked out the fourth commandment, which was remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This week we're going to be looking at the fifth commandment. Can you remember what it is? Yes, that's it. Exodus 20:12, honour your father and your mother so that you may live along in the land that the Lord your God has given you. So when we finish this commandment, we're going to be halfway through, which is absolutely fantastic. Rabbi Zacharias, he points out a very interesting aspect of this command, that every religion has one common factor that he found when he researched this, being that this particular commandment to honour your parents was part of what they had. Isn't it interesting that this one commandment that shares a commonality amongst all the different religions is for children to honour your parents? Now, before all the adults listen, breathe out a sigh of relief and start calling their kids over to listen to this message, which would be a good thing in itself, as our opening story points out, though, this is not a commandment that only relates to young children. There is actually something in this for all of us who have our parents or a parent still with us. Again, just like with the other commandments that we've looked at so far, this is a commandment that we as believers tend to not fully understand or appreciate. So it's one that, again, we tend to break from at an early age and continue to break into adulthood. This commandment to honour your father and mother is one that many people can seem to feel justified in the excuses that we make as to why we break this command. From my own observation, this is a command that is especially needed in our world today. There are many children who show disrespect to their parents on a daily, if not hourly, basis. They've bought into that lie which the world has sold them of entitlement, that their parents are delegated to nothing more than mere servants, a means to an end, you might say. Let's just say up front that this particular command, if followed, would impact the lives of many, many, many families for generations to come. And if I could be so bold to say, if this was a commandment, it was one that was held by many, it would affect whole nations. So that being said, let's start out by looking at the meaning of the word honor. What does it mean to honor somebody? Honor in this instance means to give high respect or to regard somebody with great respect or great esteem. Samuel Johnson, in his Dictionary of the English Language, written in 1755, defined honor as having several senses, the first of which was nobility of soul, magnanimity, and a scorn of meanness. This sort of honor derives from the perceived virtuous conduct and personal integrity of a person, of the person endowed with it. Wikipedia has an interesting take on this idea of honor as well, which I thought was worth sharing, as it says, honor is the idea of a bond between an individual and a society as a quality of a person that is both of social teaching and of personal ethos that manifests itself as a code of conduct. It has various elements such as valor, chivalry, honesty, and compassion. It's an abstract concept entailing the perceived quality of worthiness and respectability that affects both the social standing and the self-evaluation of an individual or institution, such as a family, school, regiment, or nation. Accordingly, individuals or institutions are assigned worth and stature based on the harmony of their actions with a specific code of honor and the moral code of that society at large. Interesting. But here's the thing, my friends. This idea of honor has been allowed to slide in our society. We no longer show honor to people who are deserving of it. Kids don't show it to their parents. Parents don't show it to their parents. Society no longer honors the people that they should. Just think about the way that people treat our politicians or even our prime minister. Our society makes excuses as to why they don't deserve honour. And in some cases, there are individuals or groups where this would be correct. But unfortunately, the world has cast aside those who God has called for us to honour as they superimpose their own standards and warped moral understanding over the top of God's commandments. Satan, he is the master of this, twisting the truth of God's word. This has meant that we now have generations of children and adults with an entitlement mentality. The world tells them that they're allowed, that they're owed something, and that those in power bear the brunt of our ire as they seem to be the ones who stand in our way. So showing honour, especially to one's father and mother, has been tossed aside, while other much less desirable or deserving people have been put in place, in places of honor that they should never dwell. So with this in mind, what does this commandment, honor your father and your mother, reveal to us about the nature of God? What is the revelation or further insight into who our God is? Well, this in fact tells us an amazing amount about who our God is. Let me point out just three things in particular. Firstly, God values the family unit. This commandment shows us just how important God sees the family. This is first revealed in the creation story when we think of when God created man and woman and told them in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. He then spelled out what a family would look like in Genesis 2:24 when he said, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." In regards to children, God calls them in Psalm 127:3, a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. So God values the entire family unit. The family was God's design and plan from the start, and he values that family unit. Secondly, God wants to see a godly society, a society which functions well and doesn't break down into chaos. God knows that the family, your family and your family and your family and my family, are all important in this. When children are brought up to honor their mother and father, to love and to respect their parents, then they're more likely to be productive, law-abiding citizens in their own communities and country. If a child cannot honor their own mum and dad as the first authority in their life, which is what they are, in the safe boundaries of that family unit, then they're going to struggle to honour and obey any authority in their life, whether it be their teachers at school, their employers at work, the police, the government, anyone putting authority over them by God. Paul tells us in Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. God knows that the family is the basis of societies. Nations will rise or fall based on the foundation of the family. If that foundation is good and strong, if the family unity operates as it should under God's instruction, if parents are godly in their Christian walk and encourage and teach their children to obey God's commands, especially for the kids to honor your father and your mother, then society will go from strength to strength. But if the opposite happens, if kids aren't encouraged to honour their father and their mother, then the very fabric of society, it will begin to crumble. A bad foundation, think on this one, a bad foundation will eventually lead to the falling and destruction of that society. In fact, the Bible tells us that when honour has eroded and society's children are disobedient to their parents, as we see today, we see that today, that this is in fact a sign that the end times are upon us. 2 Timothy 3:1-2 says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. And the list goes on. The third thing that is revealed about God is that God values parents. God knows that parents, mums and dads, are human and have feelings too. God the Father knows the pain of rejection and rebellion of his chosen people all too well, doesn't he? God knows the frustration, the anger, the disappointment, the joy and the love of a parent for his children and how hard that road for a parent can be. God also knows that a parent or parents in their old age will need the love, help and support of their kids to survive. God calls for children, even adult children, to honour their parents in this way. It's true that while God lifts the lives of the elderly up in high esteem, the world discounts the value of the elderly. And we've seen that recently with the COVID-19 epidemic. Think on back when the hospitals were put in a situation to prioritise one life over another. It was the elderly who were deemed as being expendable, as the elderly were left to die, while the younger people were valued more and given priority. But God says that the elderly are valuable and that their lives are worth much in his eyes, and that we, even as adult children, need to continue to honour and to respect our parents. Christian homes need to be countercultural in this as we look after our elderly. Care for them, provide for their needs. We need to visit and to love them. Okay, so now we can see some of the revelation of God. What then is the confrontation for us? What insight do we get into our own character as humans? Well, I think on this command, there is a story that comes to mind that sums up kind of like where I'm wanting to head with this. Kind of like sums up what I'm wanting to say. It goes like this. A Sunday school teacher in a class of 5- and 6-year-olds had just finished discussing this commandment about honouring your father and your mother, and she asked, is there a commandment that teaches how to treat our brothers and sisters? Without missing a beat, one little boy answered, put his hand up and answered, and he said, thou shalt not kill. And I like that. It's a very witty answer. But in this answer, we have a glimpse of what confronts us as a humanity as we see this attitude. It reveals a deep-seated attitude of self-centeredness or selfishness. When the opportunity arises, we tend towards looking after ourselves, putting ourselves and our needs and our wants and our desires over anyone else's. And often this is at the expense of those closest to us, especially our parents. God has placed this as one of his key commandments because he knows our selfish hearts. So many kids take their parents for granted. They misuse them. They abuse them. They take advantage of their love as they manipulate or guilt them into doing what they want. This is no way of honoring our father and mother. It is the complete opposite. It's showing disrespect towards them and disdain towards God, who gave this command to honor our parents in the first place. And I can tell you, it's a dangerous place to be. This commandment reveals our need not only for a healthy relationship with our earthly parents, but our need for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. 1 John 4:20 says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." I believe the same principle applies here. If we don't honor our father and our mother as God has directed us to do, then how can we in reality honor our Father in heaven, who we have never seen? Yes, I understand that there are exceptions to the rule. Parents who have done terrible things where prison would be too good a place for them. But for the vast majority of people, this is not the case. So with all this in mind, what then is our instruction? When we look at this commandment, what is it that we should do or do differently under the grace of God? How do we do this? How do we break this cycle of disdain for parents that we see building in our society? How do we help kids to honor their father and mother? Well, I have six suggestions, actually. The first three are for parents, while the last three are for children. So listen carefully. The first for parents is to trust and believe God's word, especially when it tells us in Proverbs 22:6 that we should train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Friends, to be faithful to the word of God. This is not saying that we leave the godly instruction of our kids to others either. Don't get me wrong, others can help. Your minister can help. Your Sunday school teachers can help you. Your scripture teachers can assist. They're all cogs in a bigger wheel. But ultimately, it comes down to you, mum and dad, teaching your kids, both in words and actions, how God wants them to act, behave, and live. Secondly, you would have heard the old saying, monkey see, monkey do. If you as an adult don't show any respect, love, kindness, or honor towards your own parents, why would you expect your own children to be any different? Our opening story shows us the effect of what happens when a child sees your example in how you treat your own parents or the elderly. So let me encourage you to rebuild a relationship with your own parents or parent-in-laws. Show them the respect that they are due as your mum and dad. Love them, care for them. Yes, they're not perfect. They've made mistakes. In truth, though, we all have, you included. They may have even hurt you, but as Christians, we have been called to forgive one another. I understand that there are situations where it would be unwise, either physically or mentally, to step into this arena. I understand that. But let me encourage you, if you have a broken relationship with your parents or a parent, and if it's safe to do so, make an effort to reconnect. And at the very least, honor the position of parent, even if you're unable to honor that person. This is what we're called to do, and it's a great example for your own kids as well. Thirdly, love your children, which also means be willing to discipline your children in that love. Proverbs 29:17 says, "Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delight you desire." If you're not willing to discipline your kids in the safety of a loving home out of love, never anger, then you're not setting them up for future success outside of the home. But you're instead laying a road plan for future failure. This is one of the reasons why fathers are told in Ephesians 6, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Love your kids. To love your kids is to show them discipline, caring discipline, and to instruct them. Take time out to do this. My next three tips are for kids still under the care of their parents. Firstly, kids, you got to show respect to your mum and dad because they are your mum and dad. You show them respect in three different ways. Your words, that is how you speak to them and with them. Your words should be kind, thought out, and respectful. Secondly, through your attitude that you have towards them. If you've got a bad attitude about your parents, and you'll know if you do, but just in case you can't work it out, if you're not quite sure, A good indication that you might have an issue with attitude is if you're always hearing your parents tell you to fix your attitude. Okay? If that's the case, fix your attitude. This can be displayed through your words, how you speak to them, or how you might speak to your siblings, how you feel towards them, or even what you think about them. In fact, even your body language can be dishonoring towards your folks. Slouching as they're talking to you, showing disinterest, you know, in regards to the things that they're saying, rolling your eyes, mumbling under your breath, all signs of dishonor towards your parents. Don't do them. Don't do them. God doesn't like it. They don't like it. Nobody likes it. Don't do it. Second way you can honor your parents is by submitting to their authority. If mum and dad tell you to do something, as long as it's legal, of course, and morally right, then you should obey your parents. If you ask them for something or ask to do something and they say no, then respect their decision. Any discussion after this, if you're going to be discussing after this, must be done in a way that honors your parents. Going out from them and just disobeying them, that is not showing them the honor that they require from God. Third way that you can honor your parents is to submit yourself to their instruction and discipline. You would have heard me speak to the parents about that earlier. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, 8 to 9, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your necks." And this is not just sons. This is sons and daughters. This is both of you guys. This is all of you guys. Basically, God is saying, listen to your mum and dad. Don't ignore them. What they tell you will be of great benefit for you if you are willing to listen. And if you're willing to be, if you're being disciplined by your parents, take it on the chin. Learn from it. Move forward and honor your parents. Finally, let's look at the promise that this commandment reveals. And what a promise it is. Interestingly, this is the only commandment that gives us a reason as to why we should follow it. So let's check it out, in this verse in its entirety. So Exodus 20 verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of your God, the Lord your God is giving you." To keep it as simple as I can, because we'll wrap up here. What is this saying? It's saying that when we honor our parents, things in life will generally go better for you. As you listen to your parents and accept their wisdom and wishes in the circumstances that you might face, there will be many instances where you will avoid danger, snares, or traps in life that can shorten or take your life from you. Now, this is not saying that anyone who doesn't live a long life must not have honored their parents. Not saying that at all. Accidents happen, disease and pestilence still exist in this broken world, and it will affect both the wicked and the righteous. But what this is saying is that by honoring your parents, your life as a general rule will be better and potentially longer than it otherwise might have been. Friends, honor your father and your mother. That's the bottom line. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this commandment. I just thank you that you love parents in such a way, and you love children in such a way, Lord, that you would give this wise commandment to us. Lord, I just ask that for those that have got a broken relationship with their mum and dad, Lord, or one of their parents, Lord, that you would be able to show a way for that relationship where it is safe to be rebuilt again. Lord, for kids that are struggling to be able to honour their parents, I just ask that you would help them with that, that they would be able to sit down with mum and dad, Lord, in a safe environment and speak to them about that and how they can get back on track. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and your son, Lord, your perfect son, who shows us all how we should live. And Lord, he was one of the things that Jesus was so known for was because he would obey you in everything. And Lord, it was a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing, which ultimately brought our own salvation because of what he was able to do. Lord, I just thank you for all of this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.